I would like to do something a little different, too. We have a microphone up here. I'd like to have possibly some dialogue about some of the things I'm going to be talking about, because these are things that a lot of American citizens don't really know unless you've read some pretty thick books. This here is called Ghost Wars. And what it is, it covers the CIA's involvement from 1979 in Afghanistan when they supported the Mujahideen fighting the Russian involvement there. And I'm going to be talking about some of that. Can you hear me okay? Is this clear enough? Okay. Now, I'm from the Bay Area. Born and raised in the Bay Area. Born 1946, the year that the Cold War started. See, there's some American myths out there. One of those myths is that we have what's called peacetime. Peacetime does not exist. I grew up through the Cold War, nuclear threat of nuclear annihilation. The United States was involved in any one of a number of places for politics of one reason or another. But they told us that it was peacetime because there wasn't a war right here. There was a war over there. Another one of the myths is the government in 1946, they changed one word and psychologically changed the whole outlook of most Americans' view of the world. One word. Up until 1946, it was the War Department. After 1946, it was the Defense Department, and we have been defending ourselves ever since. Think about it. Now, I grew up on that as a child. I was able to be told at any one time during my young, impressionable years that I could vaporize into a shadow on the ground by the heathenistic, godless communist. We even had in our school a map on the wall, elementary school in Oakland. This map, like, it had the world map, it had the American, United States map, California map, and this map. And this map was a map of the Bay Area with ground zero for a nuclear bomb on Yerba Buena Island, Treasure Island, with rings going out, blast, heat, shock. And I looked at that for 19 years, and then for some reason, I joined the United States Army and became a paratrooper and went to stop the godless communists in Vietnam because they were going to come take care of me. They're going to enslave me. They hate our lifestyle. They hate our freedoms. I heard the same thing growing up as a child in the 50s, that the American people have been told ever since this whole war on terror started. I came back from Vietnam. I was there in 1967 as an infantry paratrooper with the 101st Airborne Division, as Kim has said. I was a point man. I searched tunnels for 9 months. I went through a little party called the Tet Offensive in 1968, and then came home and was assigned to duty as a basic training drill sergeant, where I trained a total of about 1,200 troops in 1 year to go to Vietnam. I got out of the Army in 1969, was back home with my wife and our young newborn child in San Lorenzo Village in the Bay Area, and I'm sitting there in May of 1970, and for the first time, I see on TV Richard Nixon saying, first time ever American incursion into Cambodia. And I stood up and said, that's a lie. I was there in 1967 inside the sanctuaries, my whole brigade, 4,000 troops, 2.5 years before. Well, what happens when you find a lie? you look around, you find more. And that's when I started really looking at history. And one of the things I found from studying history, this old saying that goes, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive." And that's what's been happening within this government for the last 25 years. All right, now I'm going to move forward. I told you a little background on myself, so now we're going to jump forward. It's now 1979. The Russians are inside of Afghanistan, and the United States wants to get even with the Russians for helping the Vietnamese fight us and for geopolitics and all this other stuff. But we can't just go over there and start killing Russians, because then somebody would get upset and we'd get yelled at and told to go to our room. So what are we going to do? Well, they got a lot of Islamic people in Afghanistan and Pakistan, and they don't like the godless, hedonist Russians. Let's finance them. So in starting in 1979, through Saudi secret intelligence and the Pakistani secret intelligence, the United States funded the Mujahideen with weapons and cash and supplies and radios and Stingers. These are the little portable rockets that you can bring jumbo jets down with. Well, they didn't tell anybody they were doing this. This is all hush-hush, covert, don't talk about it, secret, you know. So nobody knew that they were doing this. And they wanted to ramp it up a bit after about a year, because they couldn't get the Mujahideen, which was based solely on clan and tribal groups, warlord stuff, to really get going. So they said, well, they're Islamic, right? And there's radical Islam. Let's promote that. So, and this is all in this book, Ghost Wars. William Casey with the CIA under Reagan put together a plan to fund radical Islamic jihad, to put people in place that would then get people going on a religious fervor. Now, you know how people with religion can get. You know, I mean, sometimes you just can't talk to them. Other times you got to stay away from them because they'll kill you. You know, well, we just started dumping money, but we couldn't throw money in there because people would find out that it was us. So we got a bunch of money and gave it to the Saudis. The Saudis gave it to the Pakistanis. The Pakistanis bought all the guns and everything and shipped them over to Afghanistan. This went on for several years. And they needed training sites because there were lots of Afghan people that were separate inside Pakistan in refugee camps. So the CIA, through the Pakistanis and the Saudis, they financed these madras, religious schools, religious Islamic schools that were turned into training camps for Mujahideen, and they used a version of radical Islam, which has nothing to do with basic Islamic feelings, but like Christianity, on one side you got the Congregationalists and you got the Quakers, and on the other side you got Jerry Falwell. And in between you got all these people going, well, I thought Jesus was just a nice guy, you know. Well, the same with Islam. So the United States promoted radical Islamic jihad against the godless, hedonist communists. Kill Russians. They even did a thing of sending thousands of Korans that had been translated into local languages of Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, and that, but had a radical Islamic slant on it. So what you're doing is you're essentially fomenting a war, a holy war against the Russians. Because that's all they really wanted to do, was just kill Russians. They could care less about Afghanistan. I mean, and it's all in here. It just one thing explains all the points that are missing in how we got there. Because you've heard different people from the government say they hate us. They want to kill us. They want to take away our freedoms. They want to do this. They don't want to do any of that. They want us to leave them alone. They want us out of their countries, you know. And but see, we're not going to, okay? This is the United States of America. We are the big dog on the block, and we got the big stick. And nobody else can have the big stick except us. That's how it works. Of course, then again, when you're the tough guy on the block, sometimes it doesn't work. I grew up in East Oakland, and I found out real quick about what it was like to be on the block and think you are a badass. There's always somebody a little bit badder, and they will hit you with something. Well, the United States is now the bad boy. We got all the goodies, except now we've got the whole Muslim world pissed off at us. Why? Because we helped them get there. We promoted it for all through the war in Afghanistan. We promoted radical Islamic jihad under the guise of helping the freedom fighters get rid of the godless communists. Now, we have set a precedent in this country, you know, and it worries me because we, after 2001, we went after bin Laden and al-Qaeda. Well, bin Laden and al-Qaeda came from the CIA roles. Bin Laden built all those caves and that in the 1980s with concrete shipped from Pakistan, paid by the United States. And then we went in there later and bombed it. Al-Qaeda was sprung from all that. And these radical Islamic schools that we fostered. So we go after bin Laden after the 2001 attacks. Okay, fine. You picked a fight with us. You know, you came over here and you killed a bunch of people. Now we're going to go step on your neck. Well, we got there. We got halfway through the job. We had the guy pinned, had al-Qaeda just about in, ground into dust, and then went, well, if we kill all these guys, then we won't have terrorists. And if we don't have terrorists, we can't have a war on terror. So let's go to Iraq. And they just left all these guys in Afghanistan with a few troops chasing them, and they went and invaded another country preemptively. Preemptively invaded another country that was no threat to us, and the war goes on. Now, here's another American myth. We are not at war. We are waging war, because the only body in this country that can declare and put us in a state of war is a joint session of the Congress and the Senate of this country. So we are just out waging war. And my son, my youngest son, we'll probably be getting a taste of that shortly, because he's with the 101st Airborne Division at this time at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And I'm upset, you know. And I hear these people out here saying, well, if you don't support the troops, then you support the terrorists. Well, what kind of a statement is that? You know, I mean, excuse me, because I'm an American citizen and I'm concerned with a foreign policy that is getting possibly my son killed, other people's children and husbands and wives killed, plus a whole bunch of Iraqi citizens that happen to be just in the crossfire. Then all of a sudden I'm demoralizing the troops. Well, I fought their war. I can stand up and tell them anything I want, because they're wrong. So anyway, bin Laden, while he's getting all his goodies going in Afghanistan, he starts importing Arab Islamic jihadists to help him fight the Russians. I'm kind of bouncing around here a bit. Well, from that came Al-Qaeda, a nucleus of cadre to train, people that he could rely on, and essentially people just didn't even know who they really were until like the late 90s, and the CIA knew exactly who these people were in 1987. And then when they left Afghanistan, they said, okay, thank you very much, see you later. And they thought that the Islamic people would go, okay, the war's over, everybody go home, forget about it. After they have been given all this money, they have been basically spun with religious fervor, that all of a sudden they're going to forget and just go, okay, everything's done, we fought the Russians, you know. Well, Bin Laden and the boys were yelling about going after this country while the CIA was giving them money. And the CIA said, oh, well, I don't mean it. It's not really a big thing. This book,